Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Well, Chuck, Newt Gingrich stole your line.
They all do.
About
the Denver
debate.
Post steals our stories in the Chronicle. Newt Gingrich steals my lines. It's just terrible.
We're being monitored through our TV set. We're talking about the debate last night. After the debate, Chuck, I could not take it, but Chuck watched all of it. I know. I'm like,
What industry are you in?
I know, but I was like, no, I can't take anymore. But at the end, I came down, and I mean, I popped in and out.
You popped in and out.
All right, I popped in at the beginning, then I left. Sandra says, I'm with you, Julie. That's right. Chuck here doing the work for us. He's putting
I
up
do
with the
all
torture.
The goddamn work for this show.
So we don't
all
have
the
to.
Work.
I came down and I said, how do you think it went? And Chuck said, I think a star was born tonight in J.D. Vance. What do you mean by that?
Well, he was hated before this by moderates and by independents. I mean, you sort of forget that if you're kind of a hardcore conservative who liked J.D. Vance from the beginning. But he got a terrible thing from the mainstream press, shock, 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 yeah. That he was this vicious, amoral Trumpsterite.
Weird.
And he was weird. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Who was weird last night?
Who is weird? Yeah, he's weird. And he comes out. He's lost 20 pounds, I think. In the last year, he looked great. They did his eyes. You could say they did his eyelashes. So that's why his blue eyes popped out. You know, and he said, wow, notice you have blue eyes. You kind of, yeah, that's because somebody did the eyelashes and eyebrows and stuff. And it came across just great for moderates and independents. Sometimes they're, take a harder line. That's not who he's going to. He's already got them. We got to get over a few dumbo independents and moderates. And he was great. He was articulate. He was bright. He handled the moderators just tremendously, given their incredible bias and unprofessionalism. He was nice. His Midwestern nice, which he needed to be. Normally, a vice presidential candidate is an attack dog, a pit
right.
bull.
Well, yeah, here you've got Trump as sort of an attack dog.
He is a crazy attack dog.
Right. And I think, interestingly, things like when Tim Walz said his son saw someone shot, which is probably a lie, because I'm sure
probably a lie.
I'd
give you 10 to 1 odds.
That before. And J.D. Vance, rather than saying, well, that's a lie, said, oh, my God, that's terrible.
A shooting?
So
it was a shooting. Is that driving range?
Well, it was in
Tiananmen Square. Is it driving
yeah,
range?
Yeah, that's right. He saw the shooting with his dad in Tiananmen Square. But I thought, at least the beginning part that I watched, Walz came out stumbling. He kept, like, pausing, like, having... Clearly, I think he had memorized stuff, right? And he was trying to repeat his memorized lines as opposed to answering the question. J.D. Vance, if you're a skilled politician who's used as J.D. Vance, he's done like a million interviews.
Well, promise you, I watched him debate when he ran for Senate in Ohio, and he wasn't anywhere near this good.
Right. And
he is he's a bright guy, and he's really improved.
And you could
really
tell,
improved.
Right. And I think everybody, you could tell that, you know, they've kept Walz away. I'm assuming Walz has done press conferences and answered questions before he's governor.
Well,
for Pete's sake. You would have thought it was like his first time on stage there. And it's not just us saying it. I mean, the polls are kind of showing that it was close. But I think that it's, and we'll talk about it being a bigger deal, but the networks, I mean, even CNN, ABC acknowledged that Vance won. I mean, it was everybody, no one except MSNBC.
When your opponent says about himself, I am a knucklehead,
yeah.
You're probably ahead on point.
Exactly.
You're probably, and you say, you know, non-responsive to the question about lying about
being in
China. You say, you know, it's the kind of place you'd ride around on your bikes until late at night. And I'm proud of my service. Service? Riding your bike around with other kids? But he'd been told to say that about his National Guard, but he got it too early. So he said, I'm proud of my service as a kid driving around you know, the neighborhood.
It's like, I'm not sure what even that meant. But if we could play, we're going to play a series of sound bites, and they're kind of quick here, but just to sort of show you. So, Doug, if, this is CNN talking about the debate last night. If we could please play CNN number one.
I think we shouldn't lose track. I think even in the civility of the fact that J.D. Vance came to this debate to land a bunch of punches, and he did. He landed a lot of punches in between all the niceties and all of that. And the thing that really stood out to me was that Tim Walz did not seem prepared for it.
I mean, and that's what I would say too, right? Tim Walz.
Well,
just...
the other part of that little clip, the other person said, I disagree. He is prepared too much. And I agree with her because he was kind of trying to, okay, why'd you lie about being in China? I'm from a Midwestern town.
Exactly. And this is from, Leo was saying, Chuck, heavy shoulders. You must listen to all of this stuff without for us. I'm from Charlene. Right now, JD is Trump's best insurance policy. Why remove Trump when JD is right there to take his place? Yeah. That's true. Well, and the other thing is, I mean, the one analyst there was talking about him landing punches. I thought, and you obviously watch more than I did, but
yeah,
he,
really?
Well, okay. I watched, so he did do a good job of, you know, bringing it back to Kamala Harris. He didn't attack Walz at all, right? He just kept going on. And he.
Walz, in turn, just attacked Trump. He didn't attack J.D. Vance, really.
Right. But then J.D. Vance could turn around and say, but you guys have been in charge here. So every time they attack Trump, you could say, but you're the ones who could handle it. And
why don't you go do it right now?
And he talked about that with immigration, too. And again, CNN forced to concede. This is John King on the Jake Tapper Show. If we could please play CNN number two.
But at the beginning, the two issues driving the campaign right now are Harris has a big deficit on the economy. Harris has a big deficit on immigration. And Republicans were happy tonight and Democrats a little bit nervous that on those two issues, Vance carried it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, but you, again, what was your assessment of that?
Oh, easily carried. And the one they didn't bring up, which is typical of them, was energy.
Right.
So it was, you know, I mean, some people, you know, Walz is probably because you can't help but you had an abortion because everybody has to pretend you know, it's the only thing you can do is drive 106, you know, the awfulness of driving 600 miles to kill your baby. It's not killing your baby.
No,
it's having
it's your
to drive.
Exercise your reproductive rights.
Yeah, I have to drive 600 miles to kill your baby. And then somehow
that's bad.
That's way too much. Everybody ought to be able to, in the sanctity of their home, kill any child or baby they like. And January 6th, he didn't concede, as he shouldn't, that it was a fair election or that, I mean, kind of, yeah, Donald Trump was elected. Was it a fair election? No.
Right. And Leo saying, it is finally becoming the emperor has no clothes. That's right. And again, you know, they keep Kamala away from everything. And when she goes places, it's a total stage. You know,
hello, I'm on the phone.
It's not plugged in.
I'm organizing the relief for North Carolina and East Tennessee. So
here's another one again from CNN. If we could, Doug, please play CNN number three.
It's pretty clear Vance outclassed Walz tonight. I mean, I was watching this and all I could think of was, man, Walz is so in over his head. I mean, can you imagine this guy sitting in the White House Situation Room with that facial expression that's like 50% sheer terror and 50% extreme bafflement? I mean, it was amazing, the split screen difference between a competent Vance and a totally in over his head Walz. The answer on why he lied about his trips to China and the Tiananmen Square thing was probably the worst VP debate meltdown since Stockdale in 92. You know, who am I and why am I here? It was 2.5 minutes of absolute terrible. For Vance, night of redemption, all the political media has told us that Vance was a terrible pick and Walz was going to bring in all these voters. That charade is now over. Walz does not belong at this level of American politics. Vance does. Final verdict, Tim Walz wandered into the wrong bar tonight.
That's great.
It's true. I mean, if you were, and you know,
if you've ever wandered into the wrong bar, sometimes you can appreciate that one.
But yeah, you know, it's the kind of thing where they had to get rid of Joe Biden because it was clear he wasn't competent. Kamala, and that's what I think, in a way, this is maybe a little bit bigger than the polls would indicate. You know what I mean? That it's close. So yeah, and you know, Kamala Harris, she's not doing a lot to reassure everybody that she's competent. And so then you look at Tim Walz, and he did so often, and I mean, he looked either terrified or baffled. And you have to say, can you see them running? And then, oh no, Iran is shooting missiles at Israel. What should we do? And to be like, right? I mean, this is not the guy. Ask Joe, right? Or ask Kamala. It's like they are not in J.D. Vance, I think, had facts at his fingertips. He had answers at his fingertips, and he was able. Walz gave the answers as if he had memorized it and was botching the memorization, right?
Well, my favorite part of the whole thing was when they fact check Vance
Oh,
and
of course.
is talking about, God, what were they talking about? Oh, yeah, the Haitian.
Oh, yeah.
In Ohio, and she said, "Oh, they're all legal there." And he goes, "They're legal because they came up with this BS with the special one. All you have to do is that," and they cut him off. They
Yeah.
said, "No, no speaking. Thank you for explaining to us. We're not going to have that bullshit on our hands."
From Charlene, where did they find this Walz? According to Wikipedia, his mother was just a simple homemaker, his father a school superintendent. He's kind of goofy, no? And then Leo says, kind of. Yeah, that's the thing. Here's, and the Democrats are also stuck because, you know, I don't know if Kamala and Walz are like on the some kind of spectrum of something somewhere, but she's got the weird cackling, and her responses are frequently inappropriate because I think she's nervous or something like that, or dumb, right? So she just kind of just says, oh, cackle, laugh, and then says some kind of word salad. I was saying it's kind of like Kamala Harris has a bunch of, like, you know, those refrigerator magnets, and you could put sentences together and make like little haiku poems. That's I think what she does, right? She goes home at night, and she and Doug put together the little haikus,
When he's not hitting her.
right, when he's not hitting or impregnating the nanny, and we'll get to that in a second. And then that's what she repeats the next day, right? Her whole life is just
Well,
refrigerator
here's the thing.
magnets.
You kind of, why does she just repeat the same thing? Well, you need to sympathize and offer sympathization to allow you to sympathize. The reason why is they taught her a whole four or five lines. She only remembers the first part. And so she just goes repeating
You just
repeating until
that's
maybe something will come to her.
That's what refrigerator haiku is, right? You only have like whatever 30 words, and you can every day you can go in and it's the same words, you just kind of rearrange them differently, right? And it's like, you know, it's sort of like, remember when Rev was little and he couldn't text, and so he would try to text, and then Siri would auto-complete it for him, and it would often be kind of poetic but nonsensical, right? That's what Kamala Harris is. But Walz is just as bad. You look at him, he doesn't know what he's talking about either. And then he does the goofy, like jumping up and down and weird hugging baseball mascots and things like that. So that's where they're trying to go with the whole joy thing, right? They're trying to say, no, they're not weird or goofy. They're just joyful.
No, this is what people in institutions do, the psych ward. They're going.
Exactly. I mean, even where Newt Gingrich is saying, yes, a star is born.
Did you have that? Do you have that thing
I
on?
didn't. He no. He it was a column. He didn't say it. Yeah, we didn't say it out loud. Trump is vindicated. Even The View said that Walz dropped the ball. And then a final soundbite on this: ABC also conceded that Walz did not win. If we could please, Doug, play the ABC soundbite.
I got to say, I think that Walz did seem unsteady. And frankly, what I saw in Walz is somebody who has not faced questions on a national stage since he became the Democratic nominee. He was simply out of practice. I mean, I don't know why they've done it, but they've kept him out of the limelight. They've kept him away from reporters. They haven't had him do any interviews. And he was clearly unsteady through much of that debate. And in contrast, J.D. Vance was very smooth. He took the arguments not to Walz. He was very respectful of Walz, took it to Kamala Harris. Overall, a tone of civility in this debate, in an election that has been anything but civil.
I was struck on that point, though, John. Repeatedly, both of them said to each other, "Well, I appreciate what you just said there," and then went to sort of claim their separate stances on whatever the issue was.
And I thought
Yeah,
that just,
Mr. Fact Check there
yeah, Mr.
too.
Fact Check, that's right. His ratings are down 40%. I'm just saying. But I think it's interesting. The spin there is Walz is just out of practice. It's like he's been the governor, for Pete's sakes. Is the guy speaks publicly every day of his
I
life,
don't
right?
understand. I don't understand. I don't understand why they don't have him, in front of the press. Wonder why? Because he just saw why. Yeah, exactly. He's an idiot.
That's the spin on it. And Kamala too, right? She's an idiot. The spin is like he's out of practice. The guy's been a politician for decades, right? Well, he's a governor.
Kamala went from Howard University, which is traditionally all black college, or whatever the official phrase is, to Berkeley. And, you know, I'm sure there was no small amount of affirmative action with that. Can you imagine me in the first year at Berkeley and talking to Kamala, kind of like, at least I won't finish last in my class?
Well, and that's the thing, that to try to pretend like he's out of practice. He's not out of practice.
He's out of brain cells.
He's been talking publicly. And keep in mind, this was a debate. This was not like he's live at a press conference with a hostile press corps like J.D. Vance and Donald Trump do all the time, right? No, this is a friendly, once again, three against one kind of debate.
Awful women. I mean, you know, they've done away with witch burning, but if they ever bring it back, those two
nominated. But I just think it's funny that they try to pretend like, oh, somehow we, this, you know, I mean, you could have guessed the questions, right? And you know that they were going to be friendly. You know they weren't going to ask him about the military lying. You know he was going to get friendly questions, even if they didn't give him the questions ahead of time, which I got to wonder about too. It's not like it would be, you know, brain surgery to figure out the topic. So to say, oh, well, he was just out of practice, I think, no, we saw the reason they don't let him talk is the guy is not particularly bright. I was telling Chuck before, there's this meme on Twitter. So it's Barack Obama going, where can I get a vice president who's dumber than me? And they go to Joe Biden. And then you have Joe Biden going, where can I get a vice president that's dumber than me? And they go to Kamala Harris. And then Kamala going, where can I get a vice president that's dumber than me? And they go to Waltz. So, I mean, it's like, it just keeps, I mean, good grief. What if Waltz becomes a presidential candidate?
They're going to ask, where are they going to find somebody dumber than him?
From Charlene, clown puppets, refrigerator haiku. From Leo, we'll get to the impregnating the Manny. good choice of words. We will get to that. And from Charlene, they've overdone the joy thing, more like the Three Stooges goofy. Exactly. And Charlene, JD made inroads with suburban moms with the civility and the blue eyes. I mean, there are a lot of things on Twitter going, I didn't realize JD Vance was hot.
Oh, makeup.
From Sandra, Minnesota has sold its soul to the devil. Somalis took over St. Paul, and now I believe Minneapolis. So having a moron as a governor makes sense.
Yeah.
Cackling and goofy does not make joy from Charlene. And agreed, he did have the questions beforehand. And then from Leo, Chuck, I'll bring the kindling and the marshmallows. Oh my gosh, the voice is right. Yeah. Well, and then the memes were good. I mean, Vance clearly played. They kept showing J.D. Vance was kind of, what do they call it? I read a meme and at first I didn't get it, but it was like breaking the fourth wall. That's like, did you know what that meant?
Sort of, you get outside the box.
Well, not like when you're an actor on stage and all of a sudden you acknowledge the audience and like, okay, that's called breaking the wall. And that's what they were saying with J.D. Vance, who kept looking at at the camera, like, you guys are hearing this, right? And Tim Walz was maybe like, whoa, with his like fuzzy white hair. So I think though.
And when he turned his head, all you'd see a flabby neck, this kind of dense person, every once in a while write something down. Pretending he could write.
Right.
And I've written this down, I think.
It's like, what's that? He's like, it's just like knucklehead. And he was supposed to say J.D. Vance was a knucklehead, but he got confused. And he said, I'm a knucklehead. Oh, wait. But I think, though, for people who are maybe worried about Trump and they were scared about J.D. Vance, I think that J.D. Vance probably, as somebody here noted, perhaps with the suburban women, appealed to them, or at least gave them something they could hang their hat on, so to speak. And I think that that's good. So I think the way he handled the debate and the whole thing, I think might be bigger than you would think. I mean, normally I think you could argue vice presidential debates don't do very much, but this one I think could be a little bit more significant. What do you think?
Well, one, because J.D. Vance was before pillared by the left, and he proved that wasn't true. He proved that he's a much brighter person, much more adept than Trump himself. And moreover, there are no more debates. There's really nothing else in the calendar. And you know, it's down to 70,000 votes in some of these places. So does it change the entire, as they say, move the needle? It doesn't have to move the needle a lot.
Right.
And especially if it's a close election. Now, this is a I think, well, you know, you'll find out someday when they announce who's the president and whether
next July, yeah, next July. Whatever that is.
but I think, and it also gives momentum. You know, if you're a Trump fan and you won't like the ticket, you go, all right, go. Right.
Well, then it makes Trump look smart. Now, does anyone know, did Trump, you know, do a practice debate with J.D. Vance? I don't know. What's interesting is Trump is sort of, I like what he's doing to CBS. CBS is trying to say, oh, Trump promised to do an interview with us and now we reneged on it. And he's like, I never promised that. He said, I'll do an interview with you when you apologize to me for not letting me talk about Hunter Biden's laptop.
Right.
When you said that it was fake and I said it was real. And I'm like, good for you.
Yeah,
call them out on it. It's like, that's why I won't do an interview with you, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you're a bunch of liars. So
another stakeout for whoever, who was the woman who said, oh, we can't do that. It hasn't been verified. Yeah, let's add her to the barbecue. Fake.
More marshmallows, Leo. Charlene, hard to label JD as an extremist after that performance. Exactly. So I think that all worked out well. Want to switch on to talk about this ongoing movement in the GOP civil war. As we've told you before, the judge ruled that Dave is the only legitimate chairman of the Colorado Republican Party. So, but there were other ancillary things. So technically a trial is still.
Well, what it said is that the Republicans listed four or five things. The renegades or traitors came up with. And so the judge said, well, just do this one. This one you lose, so it's over. And so now you got a trial for the other four who don't matter because all you need is one for them to lose.
And they lost already.
And they lost. And so the judge said, well, this is gone. Now it's only, I don't know, 12 days before the
scheduled trial.
The scheduled trial. And he's going to, guys, I haven't heard a...
The judge
kind of, what are we doing?
Yeah. Read.
And what they're doing, obviously... the Dave Williams and stuff, kind of like, what is there to do? Just dismiss the case,
right? Yeah,
and they apparently want something else and other things they want.
Chris Murray and all the traitors.
The traitors, and so the judge said, you have till Friday, and then we got to have a conference. Status conference of how we're going to try this case in 2.5 days.
Well, here's what I think, too, from reading the court pleadings from both sides and kind of reading between the lines. Chris Murray has been totally revealed
eviscerated
as accused of financial, legal, ethical malfeasance, right? And which is why the judge is like, you're not the chair of the Republican Party because Dave's the head of the Republican Party and you had this fake vote and you were the one who told them they could do this, even though you totally knew they could not. So Chris Murray, I'm not sure who's paying for it, but I think if you're the traitors.
Who is paying for it? You out there, anybody out there paying for it?
Knows. But if you're the traitors, I think, you know, they probably would say at one level, be like, okay, let's just pretend this never happened and go away. But as Dave said on our show, hold on just a second. You've hurt the party. Number one, you've damaged our reputation, the legitimate officers. You've hurt fundraising. You were out there raising money you claimed on behalf of the Republican Party. Where did that go?
Yeah.
What kind of contracts might you have signed? What kind of actions might you have taken?
We want to see Chris Murray's contract.
Right. Yeah, exactly. What kind of things might you have done while you were pretending to be the Republican Party that we could have to now deal with? And so, I mean, I totally support Dave and those guys saying, you can't just walk away, Chris Murray. Say, oh, well, pretend this never happened. Goodbye.
Well, it's up to them. They can release, you know, there's been no answer filed yet. And so all it takes is we hereby... dismiss our case. He doesn't need permission from anybody.
He could just even want to drop it. Well, and I think they're probably trying to find some way to save face because I'm sure Eli Bremer's like, please, I want to be the head of the party. I
the head of something.
He's like, I'm sorry, Eli, you can't be. And he's like,
Eli, you're a loser. Like, you've always been a loser, and you lose again.
Another fake meeting. And Chris is like, no, that didn't work the last time. We can't just have another fake meeting. And so this is from Sandra, which is totally true. So what? The flipping rhinos are wasting everybody's time. Goodbye, Eli Bremer. And Chris Murray should lose his law license to clarify. The flipping rhinos are wasting everybody's time. Goodbye, Eli Bremer. The Koopsters caused the damage. Exactly, Charlene. And so I'm not sure what's going to happen. You do notice, though, that as soon as Dave won, one day they do one story about Dave winning and then gone.
Right.
Gone, gone, gone. And so I'm sure that nobody's really returning Eli Bremmer's phone calls, right? But I would want to call out people like...
I'm not sure Eli Bremmer's returning the phone calls.
Well, and so just so you know, we talked about we were going to get names. We have names, okay?
Traitor names.
We had the names of the traitors who attended Todd's meeting
and voted
to oust Dave.
Right.
Okay. We have, that was the first meeting. We have the names of the people who attended the second meeting.
The heroes, the patriots.
Not the patriots, the traitors. The traitors.
Oh, second, the their second, meeting.
Yeah, who attended, yes, who attended the second
meeting. Their meeting.
The second fake meeting. Because remember, they had to have two fake meetings.
It wasn't a fake meeting. It was a town hall.
Right, right. Well, exactly. But so we have those people and the people who carried their proxies. So we have the list. And I'm pretty sure you'll be able to see this on Rhino Watch any day now. We have the list of all the people who were traitors, the counties they were in, and why this
and
is.
And their positions.
And their positions. So, for instance, I'm just going to say, those of us lucky here in Adams County, our chair, Daniel Bellefontaine, our secretary, Kate Summer, voted to oust Dave Williams, even though the Adams County Republican Party had a vote and told and overwhelmingly supported Dave, right? Right? Mm-hmm. So the one of the reasons I think this list is important is, in February or March, we will be selecting new people to run the Republican Party, new representatives to lead the Republican Party. We need to know who these people are, because some of those are rhinos who've been hiding among us, and we need to get their names out there. So if you're in those
countries, so somebody in that list kind of comes up and says, "Oh, hi, I'm for unity. I wasn't supporting those awful traitors. No. I'm for unity. Check the list.
Yeah, what'd you vote to oust him for?
Well, let's go down. We'll have an alphabetical one, too. You can check alphabetical. Oh, there you are.
I mean, it's like, and you know they're going to freak out. And from Sandra, like I said, I know that there are some outlets, well, conservative grassroots outlets, that'll be putting the names up. And so you can get copies there. And we'll have more probably Friday on where you can get that. And Charlene says, yay, the names. Because it makes a difference. Because here's the thing. Chris Murray and company, and Eli Bremmer and company, and the people who were praying for them, Todd Watkins and Nancy Pelosi were not geniuses, and they thought of this all on their own. Somebody approached them and said, "Hey, will you be our puppets for this?" And they said, "Okay." And now they're nowhere to be found. But those people aren't just going to go away and say, "Well, I guess we have to let the grassroots run the things now," right? No, they're going to be spending all of their time and effort doing two things. Number one, to convince us that these names are not on any list, right? And number two, that these people are grassroots, right? That they're not rhinos, they're grassroots, and therefore
we... But if there's a wrong name and you can say it and so forth, then they will remove it. They will remove it, I think.
That's right. But...
But you can't say, "Oh, I was there." We know how many people voted for Dave at the traitor meeting, 10 people.
These are lists from the meeting.
Well, I know, but there were 10 people who voted for Dave, and none of those are on that.
No, none of those are on the list. And so, but it's important to use this list to know who the true grassroots patriots are and to know who the rhinos are. And when it comes time to vote in officers for the Republican Party, who will be then electing the new chair of the Republican Party, who will be determining, do we pursue an opt-out lawsuit? What do we do if ranked choice voting wins? All of these issues that are so important and all of the things that the current leadership is doing so well regarding safe spaces for guns, regarding helping parents know how to navigate school boards that are trying to say boys can shower with girls, as you know, in the locker rooms, I guarantee you the establishment people will do nothing. They won't do anything about anything anyway. They never did. It'll be a KBB saying, "We support housing and we love puppies and unicorns,"
right.
And that's our platform, right? They won't do anything to fight anything because
we are for safety.
Yeah, we're for safe. They just want to have money and power. And so I think it is, and they're not going to just go away. They're going to be fighting hard to make sure.
Money never goes away.
No.
If it doesn't want to. Money is you know, the donor class is, you know, as long as they want to keep on spending their money, they'll be relevant.
Right. And from Charlene, this is a really good question, Charlene. I wonder what kind of pressure was put on the leadership people to turn against their own counties. That's a really good question. Because some of the people, and I've seen the full list from, for instance, from Adams County, And I was kind of surprised at some of the names who voted to oust Dave Williams, because you're like, these are people who you'll be like, what do you have against Dave Williams, right? I mean, it's like Dave Williams never did anything to them. It's like, why all of a sudden do you care enough that you're willing to essentially humiliate yourself in this fashion? From Leo, not really a difficult superpower to look at a Republican and see to look. To look at a Republican and see a rhino. From Dr. Donna, KBB is supposedly supporting school choice. KBB loves coffee and a cup and puppies. There we go. Char, and she grew up in a middle-class family. And from Dr. Donna, and then disrupt the party in the election cycle. So yeah, it's going to be important to, and then there's more names. I mean, this is just one of the lists. So we'll be putting.
We've got the names.
We've got the names. And it's important, like I said.
Have you ever been associated with a traitor group?
No. And you're like, what's this
happening? I take my Fifth Amendment.
Yeah.
And my First Amendment.
And my First Amendment.
And the 14th and the 12th.
Now, to move on to impregnating nannies.
So, you know, we've got to get a nanny around here. So no. I can impregnate.
No.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Just kidding.
Yeah, yeah. So the first gentleman, they hope, Doug Emhoff, who they're trying to use to define
new masculinity.
New masculinity.
Which is sort of wimp. I mean, what is new masculinity?
I mean, is it wimpy to impregnate your nanny?
Could be.
And then pay her $80,000 apparently as hush money? Now, where's that trial?
Well, Arnold right? did that.
But I mean, I don't know if that's a new. So apparently now a new report has come out that seems to be, on the face of it, that they're witnesses, there are pictures, there's but documentation stemming. It's still alleged that a woman who was dating Emhoff back in 2012.
Was he married then?
Mm-mm, says they were, she's apparently a New York attorney. They're not naming her. But
New York attorney.
Says they were at, which is like, how many attorneys are there in New York? That could be.
Women attorneys are all there.
Yeah. But she was, they were at a film festival. They were waiting in line. And she wanted essentially to bribe the doorman to get to the front of the line to get a Uber or cab, I guess a cab at that point. And then she put her hand on the guy's shoulder to get his attention. Emhoff allegedly thought she was flirting with him, so he slapped her, quote, so hard that she spun around. She then tried to kick him out of the cab. He forced his way in while she called her friends, a couple of friends, three friends, I guess, sobbing. The friends apparently have validated this claim, saying that she did indeed call us on that night. They have pictures of her with Emhoff. They have texts.
So who'd she put her hand on?
The doorman. She was trying to get, she was apparently trying
so
to.
So there's a New York doorman trying to score with a doorman? A New York attorney, woman attorney.
No, she was trying to essentially give him a tip to get to the front.
No,
of the
I
line.
Understand, but Doug Emhoff.
Oh, Doug Emhoff, apparently.
Thought she was hitting on the doorman.
Right.
Now, New York women attorneys are hard up. We all know that. Most of them have a tough time. But going after the doorman at events, maybe.
I mean, it was.
You know, it's very egalitarian right? anyway. And those doormen can be hot
oh,
in New
typically,
York. Oh,
yeah.
Man, they're hot.
Wow. But anyway, so he allegedly, and he doesn't deny impregnating the nanny, which is, that's bad. Okay, that's not good. That's not good form. I mean.
I hope she's better looking than Arnold's nanny.
That's an abusive kind of thing, right? I mean, that's a power play. She's the nanny. She's your employee.
Oh, yeah. She didn't know what to do. Oh,
but what I'm saying is though that's not nice, right?
No, it's not nice.
It's not nice. It's not nice to the kid. It's not, I mean, it's not
I
nice
don't know
to the
kid.
Wife. Well, I mean, no, she was a nanny. So whoever she was nannying for. So that's not good. And then in the meantime, now you've got him apparently stepping. Now, keep in mind, this is from Kamala, who grilled Brett Kavanaugh.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
about completely
yes.
phony, absolutely no evidence things.
Right.
Right?
right.
And tried to keep him off the Supreme
Court.
What
was that from? Where's that news story?
Oh, it's all over the place.
Oh,
it's all over the place now. It's all over the place. Daily Mail has it, and they have the texts and the emails that seem to corroborate the claim. Now, you will not see this story, I bet you, on ABC, CNN,
MSNBC, New York Times, Washington Post.
Well, it comes down to this. Here's the thing. It's a fraud like everything the Democrats do, right? So he's the new masculinity. I'm not even – does that
a lot like the worst of the old masculinity.
Exactly. So wait, let's see. So you're the new masculinity. And you're What you like have impregnate the nanny, you know, and then in the meantime, and then you indulge in domestic violence against your
at a movie theater,
in public in the streets of New York. It's like that's the new masculinity. I thought we were opposed to that.
Not if a Democrat is.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Yeah, that's not even go into Sean Combs, did he? Right. I mean, the stuff coming
now.
Out.
There's a guy who was busy. Yeah. Holy camoli.
And meanwhile, they're shopping videotapes around. And, you know, there's parties. So many. Yeah, there's so many rumors about that. But he did seem to hang with a lot of popular Democrat politicians and all the A-list or movie stars who are constantly telling us how to vote. So, you know, I don't know. Kamala.
Oprah Winfrey partying out. I mean, who knows?
Well, and if you're the campaign, again, they know no one will ask him anything. But if you're Kamala, you might be like, you never told me about that, you know, slapping that.
You never told me a lot of things.
Yeah. So I don't know. What do you think? Well, I mean, I don't think it's.
No, it'll be buried. It won't matter.
You don't think it'll matter.
The North Carolina governor, you know, at CNN, totally trashed. You know, that's everywhere. And he'll lose that run and it could threaten Trump winning, but that'll be everywhere. But this is Doug Imhoff. No, it's just family. He's not running for anything.
So I'll hear from Dr. Donner. I came in late. Did you speak the names out? No, there are too many of them. So like I said, I'm pretty sure this will be on Rhino Watch. I don't know. Mark Hampton might put it up in Honey Badger. We'll let you know where it is, where you can get your hands on it. Okay. From Jacob, according to Bill Cunningham, there are 175,000 volunteers nationwide to help harvest the ballots for Trump. Yay. He quoted Michael Whatley. Pennsylvania reports that 400,000 Democrats and 400,000 Republicans have already voted. From Leo, the new political group, No Fugly Nannies. Another day from Jacob, another charge. Oh, yeah. Bombshell immunity filing details Trump's alleged increasing desperate bid to overturn the 2020 election. So that's the judge in the January 6th case in Washington, D.C.
Oh, that beauty.
Is allowing, essentially, it's a paper trial, right? She's allowing the prosecution to file just sort of a
180 page.
If you were to have a trial, which we may not now because the Supreme Court said we can't, but if you were to,
this is
what would you say? Right?
Redactions where we don't want to have to say it, and then it would be unfavorable to us.
Here's the thing. I don't think anyone cares at this point, right?
They care.
Well, sure I mean, they're good. I mean, they keep trying to hammer Trump and Vance on January 6th, and no one cares, right? So good luck to you with that one, but it is not fair. I'm from Charlene. Julie's still award winning with breaking news. This is also good. Jacob is on it. The Hill, a Virginia school board has agreed to pay a former high school teacher more than $500,000 in damages and attorney's fees as part of a legal settlement after the instructor's dismissal for refusing to use a transgender student's pronoun. So, yeah.
That's Virginia prices. You know, $500,000 plus attorney's fees.
Well, that's good though. The tide is turning a little bit. So anyway, so we will be keeping an eye on Doug Imhoff because you got to wonder: is it going to be like all these other people are going to come out now? All these women, he slapped me too. He slapped me too. Although you will never hear of it.
Maybe he had frenzy parties.
Another thing too to keep an eye on. I'm sorry, I'm just kind of rattling. There's just stuff going on. Tina Peters. Is sentenced tomorrow in the latest thing.
That's 20 years for doing nothing.
She's looking at 20 years.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
The way the court system has treated her throughout. Normally, somebody like Tina Peters, these are bogus, stupid charges.
We'll get 6 months time served.
And community service or something that, right? I don't know.
He would have gotten one of the Hunter Biden deal that he originally came up with.
Right. And keep in mind, it's like when they tried to prosecute Ash Epp and those guys. This is the establishment and the liberal medias and the elite, Democrats who control things in Colorado, trying to let everybody know what will happen to you if you raise any questions about the 2024 election. My fear is that they will give a harsh sentence. I don't. What do you think?
You know, the judge hated her. It was clear from his rulings. He really was biased to the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
She did not get a fair trial.
No. And from Dr. Donna tomorrow. Yeah, the sentencing is tomorrow. She has, meanwhile, And just in case this doesn't happen, they are continuing the torture on her. Remember, the FBI seized her cell phones and raided her house and did all that. Well, that is still ongoing. I mean, we've talked about that before. That's a new FBI tactic that they use against patriots and Trump supporters is they make up a charge, they open an investigation, they never close the investigation, so you never really know what's going on. And anytime you step,
if they don't get enough years, she only gets 15 years, and they'll bring the other charges.
Then the FBI will continue its investigation, right? Meanwhile, you know they're accusing her of all kinds of things. And other, connection with Mike Lindell. They've just done everything they can to destroy her. God, I mean, I don't know how strong she is, right? That she hasn't been, and she keeps fighting. And if they did it to her, I think we all know they can do it to anybody. So
yes, absolutely, absolutely, mente.
But do you think that she has a chance for an appeal, or
who's it going up to?
Yeah.
All left-wing judges on the Court of Appeals. Sure, she's got an appeal. Probably a pretty good one, but that doesn't matter because the judges up there are all lefties. You think you're going to, oh, yeah, okay. There's an election tonight. We're going to overrule.
Right, right. Yeah. Oh, exactly. From Charlene, but now Heidi Ginnall on the voter fraud bandwagon 4 years later. Yeah, we're going to be talking to Ash Epp about that on Friday because... Heidi Ginnall, great. She's talking about it, but where has she been for 4 years? And she's putting up as breaking news. Dan Kaplis, Mandy Connell, KNUS, all breaking news. Breaking news? You could have talked to any number of people, Ash Epp, Sean Smith, Pat Cage, even, like I said, the government cybersecurity agency years ago pointed out that this was a potential issue, right? Or at least that it was certainly possible. And all of a sudden, Heidi Ginnall is jumping on it. I don't know if she's aware that the establishment doesn't like that. I'm not sure. I know that she had sought some records, according to her statements, and the records came in. So maybe that's part of it, but it's kind of
weird.
And it's too late to do anything, right? So that's
a little too late.
It's that's all been through the thing. Jenna Griswold is not going to go, oh, look, Heidi Ginnall has pointed out that her election.
For her gubernatorial candidate.
Yeah. It's like, thanks, Heidi, but. In your effort to get us grassroots all growing in the right direction, maybe you need a speedboat or something. I don't know. You could have been helpful, because Heidi does have a megaphone, right?
Yeah,
you
does.
Could have been helpful a few years ago when everyone else was pointing this out. You could have been helpful when Tina Peters was pointing this out, right?
Yeah.
And all of these agencies, Mandy Connell, that's the hypocrisy of them, right? So on the one hand, they trash Tina Peters, but then Heidi Ginnall will come on and she'll say essentially much of the same thing. And they'll be like, oh, Heidi, we didn't know that. It's like, now wait till you all get banned from YouTube, then you won't be saying it so much anymore. But it's too late. They're not gonna, Wayne Williams, the gold standard, so she called him out on, well, she didn't mention him by name, but it's like, so what suddenly,
Ken Buck's the famous one.
Yeah, suddenly the establishment is figuring out we don't have the establishment. But it is good back to what Jacob says, that they are at the very least in other states on having people go out there to collect ballots and ballot harvest. I think that's good.
Well, I've been an advocate for this, having invented ballot harvesting in 2002 in Colorado, but valid ballot harvesting. And I got a email from one of my favorite people, Karen Kedlin, saying, I've got this guy who says we shouldn't vote we shouldn't vote on election day. We should all vote on election
day. Vote on election day.
And I kind of go on, that's a great idea. If you want to lose, it's like playing basketball and a three-point comes in. And you say, well, we're going to ignore it. We won't defense against it. We won't shoot it and so forth. You're going to lose against an equal team. I don't think you ought to, they say you're embracing mail-in ballots. No, you're not. You should get rid of all mail-in ballots. You should get rid of all that. But in between time, until they get rid of the three-point rule, you better win a few games.
Right.
It's just
it's
mind-boggling, and I'll explain it 4 billion times why it's so important. Every campaign I've ever been in, the key has been getting out the vote. You got to get your voters out, and hopefully they don't get their voters out. When you do early voting and mail ballot voting, you get to cut down the list you need to get. You said, okay, we got to get 20 from this district. There they are. Let's go after them. If you all vote on election day, then they can never do it, except maybe at 5:30, which you're not going to get anybody in. So it's insane not to ballot harvest and not to early vote. It's just insane.
To help the
kids. And two, what can they do for everybody who comes in? They did in Arizona, where they jammed the machines. They said they ran out of paper. They did everything in the world to deny Carrie Lake a fair election. So, you know, if anybody tells you, or and also don't, they say don't mail it in. Well, that means a certain percentage of people will never get it in. Will never get it in. I mean, if you all vote at the same time, then the postal workers have a tough time identifying which are the Democrat ones and which are the Republican ones. But, you know, we've got, you've got these experts out there who I think are just, you know, they're fourth estate or something. I mean, they're just trying to help the Democrats win.
Well, we got, and a lot of comments about hiding. We'll get to those. But yeah, one thing too, I want to point out on that is, so people say, well, oh, you shouldn't, because then they won't know. If we all vote on election day, yeah, they won't know how many extra ballots they need to rig, right? That's mistaken. The Democrats have, and our friend Ted Tripp has explained it to us. Right. They have what they particularly, especially, not even particularly, but totally for key districts, key counties, key races, they have a win number. Now, keep in mind, the win number is completely unrelated to the number of voters. The win number is only related to the number of ballots, which are not necessarily anymore in the Democrat world connected to voters. They're ballots. The Democrats are not sitting around waiting till election day to say, oh my God, we just realized we need 50,000 more ballots. No, they've got those there and they're ready to go. So it's not like you're going to fool the algorithm, right? The Democrats already know. They already know how many Republicans are in the district, unaffiliated voters. They know what people are likely to vote, and they know how many ballots they need to win. And so, like, waiting to the last day does not fool them, okay? They figure that out. That's, you know.
We'll fool them.
It's kind of like saying, we're going to kick an onside kick. It's like, no, they already know that, okay? They already know what their win number is, and they have those ballots prepared. So all
and you say, I mean, I'm a person who used to enjoy going. I felt out of my civic duty. I felt like I was a Norman Rockwell painting. I love to go and talking to all the, you know, old women who usually were an old man who were in charge of it. Now I'm the old man, but I'm not doing it because it, you know, there's a chance I'll get sick on that day or I won't be out of town on that day. And I've missed elections no matter how much I wanted to vote because of circumstances.
Right.
And so if you wait till last day, one, and two, if you vote early, then you can, they can check you off the list. They don't have to go Chuck Bonneville. Hey, why isn't he voting?
And, I mean, and you're quit getting all those texts and stuff too. Well, yeah, this is from Leo and this is a joke, but it's close to the truth. The Dems already have the big plastic containers printed with quote, extra Harris votes printed and sitting in warehouses. Exactly. And the thing about, you know, the postal workers, here's how this works. I believe the postal workers being able to tell who's a Republican and who's a Democrat. Again, the Democrats are not waiting for that, okay? The Democrats have ballots that are being mailed out, many of them en masse, to undeliverable addresses, to people who don't live at that addresses, to 7-Elevens, to strip clubs, okay? There are postal workers who are in on it, and not every postal worker, obviously, but postal workers in key precincts and key counties and key states and key races. Somebody gets those undeliverable ballots and they hang on to them, right? So they're not sitting there as they sort the mail going, oh, this person, I think that's a Democrat. I saw a Trump sign, then they're tossing it. I mean, maybe a little bit of that, but it's much more sophisticated than that. They aren't.
And moreover, if you mail it in, it either shows up or it doesn't show up. If it doesn't show up in 3 to 5 days and you voted early, you can go down and say my ballot is. You can correct that.
Right.
If you never decide, I will not dare to deign to put it in the U.S. mails.
Then
well, the odds,
know.
Yeah, you'll never know. And two, the odds are that some people will just not vote at all.
Right.
And why these people continue to be the dumbest party of Republicans, Well, just, I think
it's wise to say, do you trust the machines? No.
Do you trust the postal office? No.
But it's not for the reasons, again, you're thinking. It is. It's like the Democrats are not waiting on Bill Postal Inspector to be able to somehow determine on election day or previous to that
how many votes they need.
How many votes they need and which ones are Democrats or Republicans.
They gave Joe Biden 81 million votes. 81 million. 10 million more than anybody ever in the past. You think they go, oh, should we make it 81.4 million?
I mean, that's
no.
That's why
and anybody who's telling you that
down in Georgia
is a Democrat,
right? Exactly. And so,
and if anybody out there or massive wants to debate me on it, come on.
I know we'll talk about. So let me just close up with Heidi Gnaw because I think Charlene made some good points. Where was Heidi when KBB threw Tina under the bus? Exactly. And from Sandra, by the way, didn't Judge Brimmer sign an order to have the voting records from Jenna Griswold made public? Yes. You don't see very much about that anymore, though, either. And that's we got banned from Facebook. We got our post on that got kicked off of Facebook. So from Charlene, if you vote early, the Dems can't use your vote. Your Shona's already voting. Yes, yes. And she says, I wouldn't mail it. I would drop it off. I agree with that, Charlene. But some people can't.
Go ahead, mail it. The odds are that you can check it 2 days later whether it's got there.
Do it one or the other. Leo was saying, I wonder who my dead grandmother is voting for this year. I'm going to go with Harris and Walz. And here's the thing, again, from Leo, in 2020, only places having voting problems were counties in swing states. Exactly. That's the thing. It's, you know, we probably tragically don't matter all that much. I mean, vote. But, you know, I don't think Adams County is. Well, maybe in CD8 is considered a swing state or swing county. We'll see.
It is.
Hey, that's going to do it for us. Boy, that went quick. Ash App, like I said, on the and voter integrity issues, we'll have her on. They'll get banned from Facebook again for that. I'm going to have to call it the puppies and kitten show or something.
So we love Tampon Tim.
Yeah, we love Tampon Tim show. Hey, that'll do it for us, everybody.
Take care, everybody, and have a great Wednesday. And you know what's coming up next.
Party Friday.
Yay. We could have some party favors or something to make it party-esque.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.